Let's just review in introduction. The first Mishnah in this perek establishes that there is a knas that has to be paid in the cases of onus umefata, even though there's a chiyuv malchus, meaning, let's say in the case of bal mamzeres, so you violate the law of kedesha, and that generates a chiyuv malchus, and yet the Mishnah says you pay. What happened to the principle of eino lokem mishalim? And Rabbi Yochanan is so impressed by this question that Boles Breira, with his back against the wall, he interprets the Mishnah as referring to a case where they didn't give Masra. He went ahead and he had this relationship with a Mamzeres. She was a Nara Basula. And there was no Asra. If there was no Asra, there's no Malchus. Or, for example, at the Sefer of the Mishnah, Ba'al Achoso. So he had a relationship with Achiv Kares. And the Mishnah says that he pays knas, says Rabbi Yochanan, because there was no hasra for Malchus. However, the Mishnah in Masechta Makis that says Baal Achoso Malkin Oso, that would apply even to the case of a Nara Basula, and there would be no knas, because there was hasra for Malchus. So if there was hasra for Malchus, then he gets Malchus, and if he gets Malchus, then he doesn't pay Tashlumin. The Gemara later on at Daf Lamed Zayin is going to derive this from a pasuk Kedei Rishaso, Mishum Risha Achas Atomachayvo, Via Atomachayvo, Mishum Shtei Rishaso. So we don't give both Malchus and Mammon a double punishment. That's going to be Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, is going to assume that we take these two Mishnayos together, our Mishnah at the beginning of Elul Nairis, together with the Mishnah in the beginning of the third parak of Makkos, we combine them together into one entity, and we give two punishments. We give them both Mammon, that's the Knas that's mentioned in our Mishnah, and we give them Malchus, that's mentioned in the Mishnah in Masechta Makkos. How can we give both Malchus and Mammon? And the answer is that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir holds that when there's an overlap between Mammon and Malchus, you get both punishments. He doesn't have this whole enterprise called Eino Lokem Mishalim. So if you take a look at the Gemara here on Daf Lamed Daled Amid Beis, Bishleim Rabbi Yochanan, how many lines up is it from the bottom? We counted
11.
It. 11. 11 lines up. Bishleim Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kreish Lakish. We could explain why Rabbi Yochanan would not be enticed to interpret the Mishnah like Reish Lakish, that the Mishnah is reflecting the Shita Rabbi Meir, to call Mukim La Kirabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan has a vested interest in interpreting the Mishnayos according to the Rabbanan, not according to Rabbi Meir. We don't pass him like Rabbi Meir. Yochanan V'Rab Malocha Kirabban. El Reish Lakish, my time alo Omar Kirab Yochanan. It would seem that the interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan that squares with the Chachamim would be a simple interpretation. If there was Asra for Malchus, you get Malchus and you don't pay Mammon. If there was no Asra for Malchus, there's no Malchus, hence you pay Mammon. Omar Lecha, Reish Lakish says the following. Kevan de Ilu Asrube Potur, Kilo Asrube Nami Potur. Means the following. That according to Reish Lakish, we're going to apply the principle of Mishum Risha Achas of Kedei Risha. So even in a case where he doesn't have Asra, he won't get Malchus, still he would not pay Mammon. And Yosef, as you pointed out very well yesterday, in this case, there would be no punishment whatsoever, neither Malchus nor Mammon. Why? There wouldn't be Malchus because there was no Asra. There wouldn't be Mammon because had there been Asra, he would have gotten Malchus. So the theoretical possibility of his getting Malchus knocks off the Chiyuv Mammon. The Azdu L'Tamayu, and this machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish appears in Masechta Chulin. The Chiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he transmitted the following machlokus. He said, Chayve Mises Shogigin, V'chayve Malkio Shogigin. The Dovrach means Mammon. So if he violates a Chiyuv of Misa, Bishogeg, and at the same time he incurs a Chiyuv of Mammon, if he violates a Chiyuv of Malchus, Bishogeg, and at the same time he incurs a Chiyuv of Mammon, is Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev Reish Lakish Amar Potter. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev Doha Lo Asrube. Rabbi Yochanan holds that since we're not going to meet out the Malkus, let him pay the Mama. And Reish Lakish Amar Potter came into Ilu Asrube Potter. Kilo Asrube Nami Potter. So basically,
there's no onus whatsoever.
In a case of Chayve Malchius Shogigin, there would be no punishment. In a case of Chayve Misa Shogigin, that we're going to see is a Machlokas between Rav Dimi and Ravin. But let's go according to Rav Dimi, because all we have in front of us is Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi would say in the case of Chayve Misos Shogigin, Chayve Malchus Shogigin, then Rav Yochanan would say that he has to pay the mammon, and Reish Lakish would say he doesn't pay mammon. Why doesn't he pay mammon? We're not going to give him misa. He's a shogeg. We're not going to give him malchus because there was no hasra. He's a shogeg. So even though there's no hasra and there's no malchus, Reish Lakish will still say that he doesn't pay mammon. Why? Because of the theoretical possibility that he could have implemented the same act and he would have been chayav malchus. He would have been chayav misa. So it comes out according to Reish Lakish. There's no punishment.
No onus whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
So this is a theoretical position only.
We're going to see that we see how the Rambam paskins, but this is Reish Lakish's position. There's no question about it. In fact, this is Rav Dimi's interpretation. We're going to soon see that Ravin, who is a contemporary of Rav Dimi, he also came with many of the teachings of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. He had a different text. He had a different transmission. And he held that in Chayvei Misa Shogigin, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that he's potter from Tashlum. And the only machlokas in Chayvei Malki is Shogigin. So then it comes out that according to Ravin, that's going to be the next transmission, in the case of Chayvei Misa Shogigin, everybody agrees that he's potter from any sort of punishment. Now, again, we can talk about a karmachatos. Let's say, as he was carrying something through Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashayachid, b'shogegin is realized in Shabbos, and he ripped somebody's shirayim. We could talk about his bringing a karban chatas. Or, for example, in the case of Rotsach b'shogeg, we could talk about golus. There are many different possible ways in which he would mete out his kapara. But as far as an onish in Bezdin is concerned, there's no onish in Bezdin. Why? Because he's a shogeg. And in the absence of Asra, we cannot, our hands are tied, we cannot punish him. Not only that, we're going to say that since he would have been Chayav Misa had he been amazed, therefore he doesn't pay Tashlum Emon. And that's true even according to Rabbi Yochanan. So that's going to be true even Allah Lamais. The Chayav Misa Shogigin get no punishment whatsoever. Neither Misa because there was no Asra, nor Mammon because of the principle called Kim Leib the Rabbi name, and that's called Chayvei Misa Shogigin. Where's the machlokus then between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? That's Chayvei Malkiyos Shogigin. So he violated a law in the Torah, and he did so b'shogig. At the same time, he incurred a chi of mamon. Reish Lakish would say he's potur because had he gotten asra, he would have been amazed. He would have gotten malchus, and that's enough to knock off the tashlumei mamon. And Rabbi Yochanan says no, since there's no malchus here, he pays mamon. So if we now look at our mission at the beginning of Elul Naris, which says that he pays knas, Rabbi Yochanan is going to interpret it that there was no malchus. Why was there no malchus in our Mishnah? There was no asra. If there was no asra, he pays the knas. According to Reish Lakish, we don't have that option. Because according to Reish Lakish, even if he was a shogeg, he would still not pay the knas, because Chayvei Malkiyos Shogegin Pturim Minatashlumim, and he's going to have to introduce Reish Lakish, the sheet of Rabbi Meir, who denies the whole enterprise. Okay, fine. Now, at the beginning of Daf Lamed Hey Amid Aleph, we have an entire machlokas here about how to interpret a few words in the Torah. And those are the words Im Lo Yeh Ason. And I'm not going to go through this again, because I think we did a pretty thorough job on this yesterday. It's not really relevant to today's discussion. In any event, this is what we have here. Now, On Daf Lamed and Hayom and Aleph, if you could fast forward, we're going to have a statement Amar Rava. So let's see if we can find Amar Rava Umika Lamanti Amar.
Three lines down
from the top. Excellent. So that's very easy to find. Now this question of Rava is going to give us the transition that I mentioned before between Rav Dimi and Ravin, as far as Chaibi Misos Shogging and Arkansas. And basically, the underlying premise of Rava is that no one could argue, everybody must agree that in Chaibi Misos Shogging, you don't pay Tashlum. And that's based on Tana de Bechizkiah. So he says, Umi Kimad the Omar, is there a possibility, the way Rav Dimi transmitted it, Shechaive Misa Shogigin Chayovim? Can't be. Chaive Misa Shogin are Pturim, and no one could debate that, because everyone embraces the famous drasha of Tana de Bechizkiah. Now let's just summarize, Isavenik, as we say, before we see it inside, the drasha of Rabbi of Tana de Bechizkiah. We have what's called a hekesh between Makeh Behema and Makeh Adam. In Makeh Behema, if a person, let's say we'll call him Reuven destroys the animal of Shimon, so the Torah says that you have to pay compensation, and that applies straight across the board, whether he was a mazid, whether he was a shogeg, whether it was b'miskaven, whether it was shebe'enu miskaven, whether it was Derech Yerida, Derech Aliyah, in every single scenario, he pays Tashlumin because of the principle called Adam Muad Li Olam, that in Nezikin, a man is always obligated to compensate for damages. In the same pasuk, the Torah speaks about Makeh Adam. Makeh Adam is talking about a case of Ritzicha, not where he injures someone's property, but he kills someone. And the end of the pasuk is Makeh Adam Yumas. He's put to death. So Chizkiah comes up with the following equation. It's kind of like two sides of a mirror, but they're inverted reflections. So you like the optometrist will tell you that you see everything, you know, with your eyes upside down, and you turn it, and the eye turns it up, right side up. So he says the following, that just like in the case of Makeh Behema, you're always chayev, so too in the case of Makeh Adam, you're always potter. What are we talking about? We're talking about Tashlumei Mamon. So in the case of Adam Amazik, Behemto Shel Chavero, Mamono Shel Chavero, he's always chayev Mamon. In the case of Makeh Adam, where we put him to death as a rotzeach, he's always chayev, he's always potter from Mamon. Now, why is he potter from Mamon? Because the Torah says that he was involved in a Chiyuv Misa, and if he's involved in a Chiyuv Misa, then he doesn't pay Mamon. Now, what's the case? So if we take the equation between Makeh Behema, Makeh Adam to its logical conclusion, it's even in a case of Shogeg. So we're not going to put him to death as a Rotzeach. And yet, the Torah says that he's always potter. So let's just read it inside very quickly. Again, I don't want to be mitakev too much time on this because I want to get to the punchline for today. We have a hekesh in the pasuk between Makeh Adam, that's a murderer, Umakeh Behema, someone who destroys someone else's property. And what is this hekesh coming to teach me? Ma Makeh Behema, just like there's always going to be a chiyuv mamon without any exception. An absolute, no exception rule. Lochi laktabo bain shoge bain bemezid bain bemiskavin bain shayna miskavin bain derech yurida bain derech aliyah lefocho momon ela lechaivo momon. We're not going to say that maybe since he fell off a ladder, maybe he shouldn't have to pay damages. Or if he didn't realize that he was hitting someone's animal, he shouldn't pay damages. No, we're going to say in all cases, whether he's deliberate or is accidental, he's going to pay damages. That's called l'chaivo mamon. So you might want to underline those two words if you own your own gemara. L'chaivo mamon. Af Makeh Adam. And here it's going to be lefotro mom, and you're going to want to underline the words lefotro mom. Lotachlok bo ben shogi meizim ben miskavin shen miskavin derech kiridim ben derech aliyah. It's always going to be lefotro mom. Now Rava presumes, based on his knowledge of Chazal, that no one argues with Tana de Bechizkiah. Tana de Bechizkiah is like it's a pillar of halacha, and it's so fundamental that there's no question; it's universally accepted. Therefore, based on Rava's question, we have to introduce a new transmission of the machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Elikiyasa Ravin. This is Ravin's transmission. And he says the following, even Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree in Chayve Misa Shogigin that you're patur based on this Hekesh of Tana de Bechizkiah. Ki pligi, where is the battleground between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish and Chayve Malkos Shogigin v'Dovrach? When he's Chayve Malkos Shogigin, he doesn't realize that he's violating a law in the Torah. There was no Asra, and at the same time he incurs a Chiv Mamon, that's called Dovracher. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav and Reish Lakish Amar Potter. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, and why is this so? Because Chayvi Misos Iskish, Chayvi Malki is low Iskish. The Hekesh that Chizkiah presents, Maka Od Maka Behema, well, that's talking about a case of Chayvi Misos, and the Torah says most Yumas. So there's no Hekesh here between Maka Behema and a case of Chayve Malchus in Adam. Therefore, there's no reason to assume that even in a case of Shogeg, he should be exempt from paying Mama. But Reish Lakish Amar Potter, he's exempt. Why? Because Beferish Ripsa Torah Chayve Malchus ke Chayve Misos. Now, this is called, in the language of the Shas, the Xereshova of Rosha Rosha. In other words, in the parasha of Chayve Misos, the Torah says, "Lo sikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach, asher hu rasha lamus." So we underline the word rasha, and then in the parasha of Malchus, that's in Kitetze, it says, "Vayim bin hakosa rasha." Once again, it says rasha. So we now have an equation between Chayve Misos and Chayve Malchus, just like the Torah says, based on this hekesh that we had from Tana Bechizkiah, that in case of Chayve Misos, he's parted from Tashlumin, even though he was what? A Shogeg. So too in the case of Chayve Malchus, even in the case of a Shogeg, he's going to be parted from Tashlumin. That's the Shita of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan never accepted this Gzeres Shav of Rasha Rasha. And therefore he holds that since the parsha of Maka Adam Maka Behema is limited to a case of Mos Yumas to Achiv Mi, so we have no right to expand it to include the case of Achiv Malchus. So therefore in the case of Chayvei Misos Shogigin, he's Potter in Tashlumin by virtue of the Sekesh. In the case of Chayvei Malchus Shogigin, he's Chayav in Tashlumin. So basically according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you want to know if a person is Chayav in Tashlumin, find out if he got Asra for Malchus. If he got Asra for Malchus, he's going to get Malchus and he's Potter from Tashlumin. If there was no Asra for Malchus, then the Torah says you have to pay the Mammon, because there's no Malchus on behalf of Bezdin that would exempt him from paying Mammon. There was no Asra. So everything according to Rabbi Yochanan boils down to the following question: was there Asra or was there not Asra? Again, in the case of Chayvei Misos, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree it matters not whether there was Asra or there was no Asra. Even in the absence of Asra, he doesn't pay Mammon, and that's based on Maka Adam Maka Behema. But that Hekesh does not extend to include even Chayvei Malchus, because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have the Gzeres Shav of Rasha Rasha. Reish Lakish has the Gzeres Shav of Rasha Rasha. Therefore, he expands the application of this Chayvei Misa Shogin situation to Chayvei Malchus Shogin. So this is all the Sugya on Daf Lamed Hei. Now let's fast forward for a moment to Daf Lamed Zion. And then we're going to come back on Daf Lamed Hey to this Tosus, Dibra Maskel Rava, who makes the connection between Daf Lamed Hey and Daf Lamed Zion.
Can I ask a question?
Please, please.
How could it be that there's a machlokus about the Gezeira Shava, whether the Gezeira Shava of Russia applies?
Because
it's not a logical principle. Now, there was any of them.
Right, so it all depends if you had the tradition.
You had the Masorah, you didn't have the Masorah.
Right, exactly. Whenever you see a machlokus about Gezeira Shava, you know it's a question of Masorah. Okay, let's take a look at Daf Lamed Zayin. Okay, what do we find here on Daf Lamed Zayin? We're looking on Daf Lamed Zayin, approximately, I would say, two-thirds of Lamed Zayin of an Aleph, approximately three-quarters of the way down. If you want to count up from the bottom, you'll see two dots, and that's about, shall we say, 8-9 lines up from the bottom of the page.
Shenemar v'lo yason.
Shenemar v'lo yason. Excellent. Now, just by way of introduction, this sugya is an analysis of the second Mishnah in our Perek. The first Mishnah in our Perek talks about chayvei lavim and chayvei krisus. For example, he was ma'anis a mamzeres or achoso. The second Mishnah talks about bito, which is a chiv misa. And the Mishnah establishes that in such a case he doesn't pay knas because he's chayv misa. And the Mishnah tells us what's the source for this halacha, that since he's chayv misa, he doesn't pay the knas. And the Mishnah says that it's based on the pasuk of v'lo ya'ason anosh ya'anesh. And just to review what the Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, two men are involved in a brawl. One man, we'll call him Reuven, hits who he thinks is Shimon, but instead Shimon ducks. And he hits Leah, and Leah happens to be pregnant. And the question is, does he have to pay damages for the loss of a fetus? Now again, this touches on a much more, shall I say, global, international question about the status of a fetus in halacha. But suffice it to say that in our context, the status of a fetus, which is, again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, it's called a nefesh ena gemura, is not that of a nefesh. So we're not talking about ritzicha, but rather we're talking about dini momenos. In other words, whenever there's no chiyuv as a rotzeach, you should have to pay damages. In this case, you pay damages to the father. That's called, to the husband, that's called mei velonos. Okay, fine. So the Torah says as follows. Let's see what happens to this pregnant woman who was hit by Reuven. If v'lo yason, if Reuven is not going to be chayav misa as a rotzeach because Baruch Hashem she survived the blow, then anosh yanesh, then he has to pay mom. And he has to pay what's called dmei v'lodos. But if on the other hand, yeah ason, if she will never die, then lo ye onesh. Then the Torah is implying that there will be no payment. So too in the case of Baal Bito. Since Baal Bito is a case of yeah ason, meaning he's chayv misa, therefore lo ye onesh. He doesn't have to pay the knas. That's what it says in our Mishnah. The Gemara is bothered by this. For hami hocha nafka, is this really the source, the makar, for the halacha potter mitashlumin in case of chiyuv misa, lo yason anosh yanesh, may hasam nafka? We have another pasuk, and this is in Parashas Ki Teitze, in the parasha of Malchus, and there the Torah, I'll read the whole pasuk to you, it says, v'ipilo ha-shofet v'ikol lefanov kidei rishaso, and Chazal interpret the word rishaso as referring to one risha. It doesn't say rishayuso in the plural, but rather it says rishaso in the singular. That Bezdin does not have the power to implement two punishments for one act, one criminal act. So therefore, when the Torah addresses the case of a person who's chayav misa and at the same time he's chayav mamon, well, we have that already in the pasuk of Kedei Rishaso. And therefore, the Gemara is questioning, why do we need the pasuk of Ason, V'lo Yason, Anosh Yanesh, which seemingly comes to teach me the same principle, the same conclusion. Why do I need to derive the same conclusion from two pasukim? So the Gemara answers, Chada b'misa umama, Chada b'malkos umama. The case of V'lo Yason, Anosh Yanesh is a case of a capital crime. We're going to put him to death if she dies. That's called Misa Umama. The case of Kedei Rishaso, in its context, is referring to a case of Malchus Umama. That's the whole subject of that series of psukim. It's Malchus Umama. Utsricha. And we need both of them. Diashme'inon Misa Umama. Why would we say that in the case of Misa Umama, he doesn't have to pay the damages? You know, when you think about it, let's say in this case the Baal of Vlados, right? Well, why shouldn't he collect compensation for the loss of his Vlados? I mean, just because the Nogef is Chayv Misa, I mean that doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara answers, Mishum De'ika Ibud Neshama. No, there's a punishment here, is the ultimate punishment. There's nothing more severe than putting someone to death. And the Torah says, you know what? The Chiyuv Mamon here somehow is swallowed up. It's Batel Mevuta. It doesn't register. We're going to put him to death. We don't have to be so harsh with and add to boot a Chiyuv Mamon. Aval Malkus of Mamon. The punishment of Malkus is a limited one. And maybe the Torah would say that in such a case, since he caused someone a loss of money, he should have to pay for that. Why should the person who suffered that loss of money be out in the cold just because he's getting Malkus? Leka ibn neshamei malo, therefore he should be chayv mamon, and we need the pasuk kidei rishoso for the case of malchus umamon. Let's go the other way around. The iashmina malchus umamon, mishum de lo chamer isure. Maybe the Torah had compassion on a person who violated a regular rank and file lav, but if he violated a capital crime, avol b'misa umamon de chamer isure. Aim a low, maybe we should say that he's not potter from paying mamon, but rather we should be very harsh with him and he should have to pay mamon. Sricha, therefore we need both cases. We need misu mamon and malchusu mamon. In misu mamon, the Torah is being machadish that even though we're taking away his life, even though he is violating such a serious avera, it's a capital crime, we're still going to be compassionate. And we're going to alleviate his chiyuv of mamon. In the case of Malkus u'mamon, even though he's not getting such a serious, severe punishment, nevertheless, we're going to pater him up for the mamon based on the drasha of kidei rishasa. Now let's go back to our sugya on daf lamed hey, and I'll show you why we fast forwarded to daf lamed zayin. It wasn't just a matter of capricious mood of mine, but we want to look at Tosfos, Dibra Maschil, Rava Omar, on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, Asya Makeh Mak. Now Tosfos asks the following question. Let's assume that we have a Gzeirah Shava, which is going to equate Chiyuv Misa with Chiyuv Malkios. Again, there are two different versions of that Gzeirah Shava. It's either called Rasha Rasha or Makeh Makeh, depending upon Abaye and Rava. But bottom line, both Abaye and Rava, in order to justify Reish Lakish regarding Chayve Malkius Shogigin, postulate a Gzeirah Shava that equates Chayve Malkius with Chayve Misa. That just like in the case of Chayve Misa, even though he was a Shogig, he's potter from Tashlumin. So too, in the case of Chayvei Malkius Shogigin, even though he's potter from Malkius, he doesn't pay Tashlumin. That's the sheet of whom? Of Reish Lakish, that we studied here on Daf, Lamed Daled, Lamed Beis, Lamed Hei, Lamed Aleph. So Tosfos says, L'chora, we have a stira now between two sugyas, the sugya on Lamed Hei and the sugya on Daf Lamed Zayin. Because the sugya on Lamed Zayin works very hard to justify two psukim. We need both a Kimlei b'Rabinei in Misa and a Kimlei b'Rabinei in Malkus. One is derived from Ason Yeh Anoshi Anesh. The other is derived from Kedei Rishah. So why do we need these two psukim? Again, the Gemara gives all those svaras over there. Here there's Ibn Neshama, and here there's no Ibn Neshama. Here it's Chamri Surei, here it's not so Chamri Surei. Wonderful svaras, and Trichu says that's wonderful. But I don't need that, because I have a Gzeirah Shava. And the Gzeirah Shava teaches me that we have to equate Chivei Malkus with Chiv Mat Misa. So that if in Chiv Misa the Torah says you're part of Tashlumin, based on Ason Yeh, then by virtue of this Gzeirah Shava, ipso facto, in Chiv Malkus, he's going to be part of Tashlumin. Or say it the other way around. If we derive from Kedei Rishoso that in the case of Chiv Malkus, he's part of Tashlumin, Then once we have the Gezeirah Shava, which equates Chiyuv Malkus with Chiyuv Misa, we should therefore derive the conclusion that in Chiyuv Misa, he's part of the Tashlumin, despite all the Trichuses and all the Havminis that you have. We have Gezeirah Shava. That's the Kash of Tosfos. What we want to do today, I mean, again, I hope we'll achieve our goal, I'm not promising anything, is to try to come up with an answer to this Tosfos. And that's going to be based on two different pieces in two different places in the Sefer Mishkanos HaRoim. Now, the Sefer Mishkanos HaRoim is an anthology of the Gedolei Achronim. He also touches sometimes on Rishonim. And if we put together two pieces here, and you want to turn to page, just 1 second, what page was it I said before? Shin Tzadi Zayin. Okay, great. No, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
It should be...
Oh, wait, it could be.
Yeah, it could be. Okay, just give me a minute to get oriented here, because I don't have the photocopies in front of me. Oh, Shin Tzadi Zayin, you're right, Shin Tzadi Zayin. And on the other side, Shin Tzadi Ches. And we'll see if we can possibly add to this page Tuf Lamed Vav. Okay, then if you don't have the page in front of you, don't get nervous, because it's going to take us a long time to get to that page. So don't... Okay. Now the first thing we have to know is the Rashba. The Rashba is going to establish the following: that Chayvei Misa Shogegin are potter from Tashlumin. However, what's the deal with Chayvei Misa Shogegin and Malkus? The Gemara never addresses this issue. At least not here in Masechta Ksuvos. We'll have to see. The Rashba has a sugya in Chulin, which he claims addresses this sugya, this problem. So again, Rav Osai, let's just review. We've been discussing the following two scenarios: Misa and Mamon, Malkus and Mamon. What would be the halachic principle to guide us in the case of Misa and Malkus? We might assume that Misa and Malkus, the Chiyuv Misa, will knock off the Chiyuv Malkus. But what about in the case of a Shogeg? That we don't know. So the Rashba says, Avol Vadai, you may want to underline this, Avol Vadai, Chayve Misa Shogegiru Malkus, is Chayov Malkus according to Rabbi Yochanan. Again, what do we mean by Shogeg? There was no Asra. So they gave him Asra for Malkus, but they didn't give him Asra for Misa. So as far as Misa is concerned, he's a Shogeg. As far as Malkus is concerned, he's amazed because he got Asra. What should we say in this case? Should we equate this case with Chayvei Misos Shogegin L'inyan Tashlumei Mamon? In which case the Chiyuv Misa would knock off the Chiyuv Mamon. Hu Adin, in the case of Chayvei Misos and Chayvei Misos Shogegin and Malkus, what do we say? No, that this is a case of Malkus, and the rule of thumb according to Rabbi Yochanan in the case of Malkus is that Shogeg doesn't play a role at all, and therefore he's going to be Chayv Malkus. Comes along the Rashba and he says, based on the Sugyan Chulin, which we'll see in a second, L'Rabbi Yochanan, Chayav Malkus. Wow. Had he been given Asra for Misa, he would certainly not be Chayav Malkus. In other words, there's no question in the case of Mezid that you do not mete out two punishments, both Misa and Malkus. You know, first give him 39 lashes and then put him to death. No. Chayav Misa would not go after Chayav Malkus. That's unquestionable. But in a case where there was no Asra for Misa, Chayvei Misa Shogegin, can Bezdin now implement what they should be implementing because it was Asra for Malkus and give him 39 lashes? Says the Rashba, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Eino Chinami. That's exactly what's going to happen. Yochanan is not going to apply the principle of Chayvei Misa Shogigin with regard to Malkus. Where does Rabbi Yochanan agree that there's a principle of Chayvei Shogigin, that's Chayvei Misa Shogigin vis-a-vis Achiv Mama, but vis-a-vis Achiv Malkus, Rabbi Yochanan will say that he's Chayv Malkus if it was Asrafa Malkus, despite the fact that had there been a Asrafa Misa, he would be Chayv Misa and he would be parted from Malkus. Now he's Chayv Malkus.
So Rabbi Yochanan, you should
I would say the following. For Rabbi Yochanan, the issue of was the Asra or not Asra only applies to the case of Misa and Mamon. Do you want to write that down again? It gets a little complicated. Hopefully we'll survive it. Because we're juggling three cases at the same time. When is Misa and Mamon, we have to ask the question, was there Asra or was there not Asra? No, I'm sorry. Just the opposite. When we're dealing with, let's take the clear-cut case of Rabbi Yochanan. When we're dealing with Malkus and Mamon, does he pay or does he not pay? It all depends on whether there was Asra or there was no Asra. If there was Asra, then he gets Malkus. And Kedei Rish also tells me that he's parted from Mama. If there was no Asra, there's no Malkus, then he gets Mama. Even though, as far as the Chiyuv Lav and the violation of the Chiyuv Malkus, he was a Shogeg, but Rabbi Yochanan never accepted Chayvei Malkus Shogegin. So again, as to whether he's going to pay Mamon in the case of Chayvei Malkus or of a lav, a regular lav, it all depends upon whether there was Asra or there was no Asra. In the case of Chayvei Misa, Rabbi Yochanan agrees it's irrelevant whether there was Asra or not. He doesn't pay Mamon because of the principle of Tanavei Chizkia of Chayvei Misos Shogi. Comes along the Rashbun, he asks the following question. What happens in the case of Chayvei Misa Shogigin, where at the same time, simultaneous with his Chiyuv Misa, which again he was a Shogig, because he's not going to be put to death, he incurred a violation of a Chiyuv Malkus, and he's going to get Malkus, because there was Asra for that Malkus. Then Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, that since there was no Asra for Misa, and there was Asra for Malkus, he's going to be Chayv Malkus. In the same way that Rabbi Yochanan says the Chayvei Malkus Shogigin are Chayav Mamon, so too Chayvei Malkus. I'm sorry, let me go over this one more time. To the same extent that Chayvei Malkus Shogigin, according to Rabbi Yochanan, pay Mamon, so too Chayvei Misa Shogigin get Malkus. Do we have that equation? Again, if you write it down in front of you, at least for me, that would be a helpful tool. Where is this case of Chayvei Misos Shogigin and Chayvei Malkus Basra, where, according to the Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan would say, he gets Malkus? The Gemara in Chulin quotes the following case. He shechts two animals, Oso V'Espino, on the same day. He shechts the first animal and he's going to eat it for dinner. That's fine. He shechts the second animal for Avodah Zorah as part of a cult, of an idolatrous cult. Now, when he shechts the second animal, which is called Bino, he incurs a violation of a Lav D'Oraisa of Osov Espino. At the same moment, he incurs a violation of Avodah Zorah, which is a capital crime. The only thing is, they gave him Asra for Osov Espino, and they didn't give him Asra for Avodah Zorah. So as far as the Chiv Misa is concerned, he's a Shogeg. As far as the Chiv Malkus is concerned, for Osov Espino, he's amazing, and he gets Malkus, says Rabbi Yochanan, Loke. Reish Lakish Amar Eino Loke. Reish Lakish is going to say, well, in this case, he's a Chayvei Misos Shogegin, and therefore he doesn't get Malkus, even though he had Asra for Malkus, he's exempt from Malkus. Why? Because Chayvei Misa Shogegin knock off not only a chiyuv ma'on as we saw in Reish Lakish, but even a chiyuv malchus. So Reish Lakish applies his logic of chayvei malchus shogegin, which he applies in the case of ma'on. And now what we're going to say is that somehow, we don't know exactly how, Reish Lakish is going to say, well, since I have chayvei misos shogegin, tanako fachiv mamon, that's ason lo yanesh, therefore, in chayvei malchios, since he was a shogeg for a chayv misa, and at the same moment he incurred a chayv malchus, he's potter for malchus. Because chayvei misos shogegin apply not only to knock off a chayv mamon, but also to knock off a chayv malchus.
We don't understand the rationale for that. I mean,
that's what this whole shir is all about. That shir is going to be on the Yesh Levayer, which I want to lead up to step by step on the left column. Do you see the left column of the paragraph that starts with Yesh Levayer?
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to add a little arrow, because that's really, again, if we get by the Yesh Levayer, then maybe we'll make some sense out of this whole sugya. But right now, we're at the level in which we're trying to work out the mechanics. How does the Rashba know to differentiate, according to Rabbi Yochanan, between Chayvei Misos Shogegin vis-a-vis Mamon and Chayvei Misos Shogegin vis-a-vis Malchus? He has a Gemara in Masechta Chulin. Because the Gemara in Masechta Chulin says that he was shogeg as far as Avodah Zorah is concerned, because he didn't get Asra for Avodah Zorah. Again, don't ask me why the Edom didn't give him Asra for Avodah Zorah, but instead they gave him an Asra for a lowercase for Osav Espino. And Rabbi Yochanan goes on record as saying that he gets Malchus, even though this is a case of Chayvei Misa shogeg. So the answer is, says the Rashba, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Chayvei Misa shogeg is derived from the Hekesh of Tanu Bechizkia, Maka Behema, and Maka Adam. And the subject of that pasuk is Mama. And the Torah is telling you that if he was Maka Behema, he pays. But if he was at the same time that he was Maka Behema, he was Maka Adam, he doesn't pay. So that tells you that as far as Tashlube Mama is concerned, we have a principle of Kimlev the Rabine of Chayvei Misa, which applies even in the case of Shogeg, because again, Lo Chilak the Bo, and that's the Tana Dvei Chizkia. But to extend that and apply it to the case of Misa and Malchus, that we have no right to do, because the Torah is explicitly addressing a case of Misa and Mama. He says, "Time of the Milsa, the Ptur the Chayvei Misa Shogegin, Yalfin and Lo Mi Hakesha the Makabeim of Ahub and Mamanu." But Malchus lo shamanu. We never heard that Chayvei Misa Shogegin should exempt you from a chiyuv Malchus if there was Asra for Malchus. And now we're going to see, this is a sefer that's called Meir La'olam. I'm not sure who authored the sefer, but you'll see in the footnote number days. And he says that the Rambam also agrees with the Rashba. How does he see the Rambam agreeing with the Rashba? He compares two Rambams. One Rambam is in Hilchus Gneva, the other Rambam is in Hilchus Shechita. Now, the Rambam in Hilchus Gneva codifies the halacha of Chayvei Misa Shogim Potami Tashlumin. Ayin Shom, Perek Gimel Hilchus Gneva Halacha. But again, according to the final version of Rav Dimi, there never was a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about that. But now let's fast forward to Hilchus Shechita. Here we have something different. Beperkid Beis Hilchus Shechita Halacha Zayin. The Rambam codifies the Gemara in Chulin that we just saw, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, if he had Asra for Osav Espino, he did not have Asra for the Shechita L'Shem Akum, for Avodas Kochavim, Loka, he gets Malchus. Why does he get Malchus? After all, with that same very act of Shechita, he incurred a Chiyuv Misa, he was shechting for an Avodah Zorah. The answer is that he's not going to get Misa, he's a Shogeg, and therefore we're going to give him Malchus, because as far as Malchus goes, that's why he's amazing. And again, we're going to have to insist on the same principle, namely that the parasha of Chayvei Misa Shogegin, which is the parasha of Chizkia, of Makah Odom Makah Behema, is addressing a case of Mamon. And that's where the Torah is machalish that in Chayvei Misa Shogegin you don't pay Mamon. But as far as Chayiv Misa Shogim vis-a-vis Malchus is concerned, that's not included in the parasha, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan has every right to say that we'll give him Malchus. And the logic of it, we're going to try to get to when we get to it, which will take hopefully another 10-15 minutes. Now, the sugya in Chulin presents the machlokes between Rav Dimi and Ravin as to how we transmit. Wait a second. What does it say in the Kiyasa Rav Dimi? I think that's a mistake. Isn't Kiyasa Ravin? Let me just go over that. Right, what do we have on Lamed Dal? It was on Lamed Dal and Amid Beis, am I right? Or was it on Lamed Hey and Aleph? Just one second. Yeah, it's on Lamed Dal and Amid Beis on the bottom. What does it say there? Just one second. Yeah, Ki Oser Avdimi.
Yeah.
Oh, Ki Oser Avdimi. Okay, that's good. Ki Oser Avdimi, and then it's Ravin. If I interchange the names, you'll accept my apology. So again, the first transmission is that of Rav Dimi, and the second is according to Ravin. Okay. Okay. So what do we have in the Gemara and Chul? Ki Oser Rav Dimi, Omer Chayvi Misa Shogin Chayvi Malkis, a double machlokes, Rav Yochanan Omer Chayvi Shok Shoba Potur, and it comes out that according to this transmission of Rav Dimi, there's a twofold machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan rejects the very principle of Chayvei Miso Shogigin. Oh. So this is before we get to Ravin. So we're in the Ravdimi mode over here. Now, if we're in the Ravdimi mode, then in the case of Misa and Mammon, if he was a shogeg on Misa, Rabbi Yochanan holds that he's chayev. Why? Because since there was no asra for Misa, and we're not meeting out the punishment of death, therefore he has to pay mama. Again, this assumes that we reject the Tana de Bechizkiya. Fine. If that be the case, then in Chayvei Miso Shogigin and Malkus, we understand very well why the sugya in Chulin assumes that he would get Malkus in this case, because just like he pays Mammon in the case of Chayvei Miso Shogigin, so in the case of Malkus, Chayvei Miso Shogigin would also be Chayv Malkus. Does everybody follow that? In other words, to the same extent that Chayvei Misa Shogin, according to this version of Rabbi Yochanan, pays. Why? Because we're not putting him to death. There was no asra for Misa. So too, in the case where there's no asra for Misa and he got asra for Malkus, we're going to give him the punishment of Malkus. Again, the principle is one and the same. It's identical. It means that a Chiyuv Misa could only absolve you of any other secondary punishment, whether it be Mammon or Malkus, only if we're going to put you to death. You had Asra. If you were a Shogeg and we're not putting you to death, then we're going to hit you with the brunt of the punishment, whether it's Misa or Malkus. Ava lamaydekaimelon ki Ravin. But now we're accepting Ravin's version. That means that even Rabbi Yochanan accepted Chayvei Misa Shogegin. Right, and that's based on the Hekesh of Tana de Bechizkiya. Then why don't we go one step further and apply that even in the case of Chayvei Misos, Shogegin, and Malkus? That we don't understand. Now, to make this point even crystal clear, let's look at the Rambam. Remember, we had two Rambams. The Rambam Perek Gimel Milchus Kineva Paskin that Chayvei Misos, Shogegin, are part of Tashlumin. Which means that the Rambam accepted Ravin's, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got it right. Yeah, Ravin's version of the Machlokshin, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish, meaning Ravin. Again, we're assuming now that in a Machlokshin of Yochanan and Reish Lakish, who do we basking like? Like Rabbi Yochanan. But which version of Rabbi Yochanan? The Rambam clearly commits himself to Rav, to Ravin's, to Rav Dimi's version. I'm sorry, I get the names mixed up here. Rav Dimi to... No. To Ravin's version, correct? Because the Rambam paskins had a Chayvei Misa Shogigin, you're potter from Tashlum. No, if that be the case, if the Rambam paskins like Ravin's version, then why does the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita paskin that since he got Asra for Oso V'Espino, he gets Malkus? After all, once the Rambam has accepted the principle Chayvei Misa Shogigin, then in the case where he was shogging vis-a-vis Avodah Zarah, he should be potter from Malkus. The same way he's potter from Mammon, he should be potter from Malkus. When does the Gemara assume that Chayvei Misa Shogigin is Chayv Malkus, the Gemara in Chulin with the Shochet and so forth? That's only according to Rav Dimi. Because Rav Dimi had a double machlokus, meaning that Rav Yochanan rejected the very principle of what? Of Chayvei Misa Shogigin. So if he rejected Chayvei Misa Shogigin, then you're always going to be Chayev, whether it's Chayv Misa, whether Chayv Mammon or Chayv Malkus. Chayv Mammon or Chayv Malkus. Then the Gemara in Chulin is crystal clear. But the Rambam accepts La Locha, the Shita of Rav Dimi. And, I'm sorry, the Shita of Ravin. Anytime I say Rav Dimi, I mean Ravin. Okay, the Shita of Ravin. And what's the Shita of Ravin? That Rabbi Yochanan accepted the principle of Chayvei Misa Shogigin. No, if he accepted the principle of Chayvei Misa Shogigin, then in the case of Misa and Mammon, where he got Asra for the in the case of Misa Malkus, where he got Asra for the Malkus, and he didn't get Asra for the Misa, he should be potter from Malkus, to the same extent that if he didn't get Asra for Misa and he ripped someone's shirt, then he's potter from paying damages. In other words, Chayvei Misa Shogigin should have the power, according to Ravin's version of Rabbi Yochanan, to knock off any other chiyuv whatsoever. Because we're always going to apply the principle, Ilu Isruvo. What would have been if he had Asra? Had he had Asra, he would get Misa, he would not be Chayev Mammon. Had he had Asra, he would get Misa, he would not be Chayev Malkus. So how can the Rambam say that in the case where he's not Chayev Misa, because they didn't give him Asra for Avodah Zarah, that he gets Malkus? After all, the Rambam accepts Ravin. And I'll prove to you that the Rambam accepts Ravin from the Rambam in Hilchos Kedema, because they're the Rambam Paskins that Chayvei Misa Shogigin are potter from Tashlum, and so then Chayvei Misa Shogigin should be likewise potter from Malkus. And yet the Rambam says Chayvei Misa Shogigin are Chayev Malkus. So in the last paragraph on the left column, he quotes the Pnei Yoshua. And the Pnei Yoshua claims that according to the Shitas HaRambam, there was never a debate between Ravin and Rav Dimi about Misa and Malkus. The only machlokus between Ravin and Rav Dimi was about Misa and Mammon. Did Rav Yochanan accept the principle of Kimlev the Rabbi even in the case of Shogig vis-a-vis Mammon? Or did he not? Whereas Rav Dimi said he never accepted the principle of Chayvei Misa Shogigin. That's according to Rav Dimi. But according to Ravin, Rav Yochanan accepted Chayvei Misa Shogigin. But only as far as what? As far as Mammon is concerned, but as far as Malkus is concerned, even Rav Dimi would agree that Rav Yochanan holds that there's no din of Kimlev the Rami in the case of Chayvei Misa Shogigin vis-a-vis Malkus. And we will give him Malkus. Is that's what he writes? Isa. Isa means we accept. Lidivrei Rav Dimi, the Miso Malkus. So Rav Dimi, even according to Ravin, is absolutely correct in the case of Miso Malkus. That the Machlokus stream of Yochanan Reish Lakish will apply, just like in the case of Malkus Umama. Okay. Vadayin, let's skip to Vadayin right now. Vadayin Advarm Tzrichin Biur. Mao achiluk bein misa
the Mammon.
Right? Misa vis-a-vis Mammon and Misa vis-a-vis Malchus. Do you follow? In other words, I would have written this a little differently. My achilut bein shogeg legabe Mammon, bein shogeg legabe Malchus. Okay, he wants to emphasize we're talking about Misa because again, we're going now according to Rabin's version, and even Rabbi Yochanan accepted the principle of Chayvei Misa Shogegin, at least vis-a-vis Mammon. Now you're telling me vis-a-vis Malchus, Misa Shogegin is not enough to knock off the Malchus. Why? Furthermore, he says, again, this is an anthology of the Gedolei Achronim, he says, V'gam ma'inyan machlokosam shel Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish im Chayvei Misa Shogegin Turin mi Malchus, right? So we have a machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Again, if let's go back. Just one second. Let's go back for a moment to Chayvei Malchus. I'll get back to Chayvei Misus in just a minute. We know. And that's explicit. That's Kuliyamalo Pligi, that there's a machlok stream of Yochanan Reish Lakish about Chayvei Malchus in the case of Shogeg. Does that knock off Mammon? Correct? Because the entire parsha of Chayvei Malchus and Mammon is Kedei Rishasa. And Kedei Rishasa means that he's a Rasha. Rasha means he's amazing, not a Shogeg. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish somehow has an equation between Misa and Malchus that's called the Gzeirah Shava, by which he learns that the principle derived from Chizkiah will apply even to Chayvei Malchus. So just like in Chizkiah, Chayvei Misos, Shogi, and Potvim Tashlumen, so too in Malchus, Chayvei Malchus, Shogi, and Potvim Tashlumen. But what does that have to do with the case of Chayvei Misa b'Shogi? That's a whole different case, because of Chayvei Misa, we're saying that Chayvei Misa Shogi, according to Ravin, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that it knocks off a Chiv Mammon. So if it knocks off a Chiv Mammon, it should likewise knock off a Chiv Malchus. Again, the two sides of one coin. He's really asking the same question in two different ways. The second way, he say, why if you have a toothache in one tooth, you don't have to have add another tooth and have a second toothache. I mean, in other words, basically, what's the connection here between the machlokes which we have between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish regarding Chayvei Malchus Shogegin and Mammon, and Machlokes vis-a-vis Chayvei Misa and Malchus? Who's talking about Chayvei Misa? So that, how would the Gemara, according to the Rashba, according to the Rambam, how would it have extrapolated from the Machlokes about Chayvei Malchus Shogegin, that was the original Machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish, to Chayvei Misa Shogegin? My high. Chayvei Misus is derived from a whole different parasha. Chayvei Malchus is derived from Kedei Rishasa. Chayvei Misus is derived from the Hekish of Tanan Vechizkiah. And the other question is, what's the logical basis for any sort of distinction between Chayvei Misus Shogegin vis-a-vis Mammon and Chayvei Misus Shogegin vis-a-vis Malchus? Meaning, if we accept Ravin, and Rav Yochanan accepts the extension of the scope of Kimlei Ravini and Chayvei Misos to a case of Shogegin, then if Chayvei Misos Shogegin is capable of knocking off Mammon, it should be capable of knocking off Malchus as well. Okay. This is a tall order. To put this sugya into some sort of a seder, as we say. I'm just looking at the footnote here. I'm very confused, and I'm always a little bit confused about who he's quoting. I think he's quoting Reb Chaim from Stenzel, but then he writes Achiezer, so it might be Reb Chaim Ozer. Later on he quotes Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, who's a contemporary, and he just died 10 years ago. And he says the following. Now, what I'm going to do here And again, I'm hopefully this will be helpful. Is I'm going to ask you to underline or highlight certain words in this next paragraph. That's just my style. If it doesn't work for you, drop it. He says, yeah.
You're in the paragraph for Katav and
Yeshua. No, not yet. I'm up in the paragraph for Yesh Levayer. I didn't get to Katav yet. Oh, Katav we did already. Do you want to go over it again?
No, I'm in the Yesh Levayer.
Yeah, I'm up to the paragraph for Yesh Levayer. Okay. Now, under the Ches, there should be a comment. Dechaluk. Just want to make that clear, because otherwise it was a chiruk, it would be chiluk. But chaluk din, quote unquote, ein meis mishalem, end of quote, midin, quote, ein loku mishalem, end of quote. So we have ein meis mishalem and ein loku mishalem. And this, my friends, is going to give us the grassroots machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. And in this paragraph, particularly with special emphasis on Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. And again, we're going to try to come to the point in which Rabbi Yochanan says that Chayvei Malkus Shogigin is going to pay Tashlum. He says, the Hadi Eino Loke U'Mishalem. That's the second case, right, of Eino Loke Mishalem. That's Yalfid La Mikra Dechirish Aso. Bekederish Aso. Mashma, Demishum, Risha Achas Tamachai Vita Risha. Font. Nimta. What do we derive from Kederish Aso? She is Soda Din Eino. See, he, pedagogically, I think he confuses us because he's already jumping to Misa. And Mama. Okay, so let me try to just read this quickly, but I would rewrite the paragraph, I think, in a clearer way. You saw that din ain't mishum shamalkus poter saman rak hadinu. So I would have skipped that v'nimtza up to the rak hadinu. So again, we're trying to define the mechanics of Eino Loke Mishalem. Di Efshal L'chayev Shtei Rishayos V'golei Kra Arboim Yakev Du Loke U'memela Eino Mishalem. Now, I just want to point out that in another paragraph, which is on the flip side of the page, he uses, I think, a more pedagogic phrase, which he calls Risha Hamesura Lebezdin. And that you'll see in the second paragraph, at the end of the second paragraph, Aval. Here he uses a slightly more general term, and he says, instead of Mesura Lebezdin, he says, I Efsha Lechayev Shtei Rishayos. Who's the Efsha Lechayev addressing? Bezdin. So if we could, we would add the following phrase, the Efshal Lebezdin Lechayev Shtei Rishayos. Good? I don't think anyone should have an objection to that. So if the Torah tells us in Kedei Rishaso that Bezdin cannot implement two punishments, then we have to ask the following question. Well, which of the two punishments should they implement? And the Pasuk says, Kedei Rishaso, Arboim Yakena, which means that he gets Malkus and he doesn't pay Mamon. So the entire enterprise of this din, which is called Eino Loke U'Mishalem, is addressing Bezdin and clipping the wings of Bezdin, or shall we say, tying their arms in such a way that they cannot implement two punishments. They cannot be Machayev him for Shtei Rishayos. And in the toss-up between the two, Mamon and Malkus, we're going to implement the Chiyuv Malkus, because that's what it says in the Pasuk Arboim Yakenu, and alleviate him from the Chiyuv Mamon. Oh. That's as far as Eino Lokim Mishalim. Now we get to Eino Mesu Mishalim. What's Eino Mesu Mishalim? That's an entirely different halach. Aval hodi ein mesu mishalim yalfinen lo la alon daf la mitzayin omid aleph mikra from the pasuk de lo ye asan. What is this yalfusa teaching me? That misa poteres mama. We're not addressing bezdin here. We're addressing the nature, or the essence, so to speak, of a chiv misa. A chiv misa packs you up from mom. Just 1 second, let me just...
If it's a place of work, and see how it is.
Malchus, if it's Misa and Malchus. Okay, we'll get to that in just a minute. But now let's talk about Misa and Mammon. So the Torah is telling you something about the Onesh Misa. Now again, this is before we get to Tana Bechizkiah, that Hekesh. Once we get to Tana Bechizkiah, Misa patters you up from Mammon, not just because we are meeting out the punishment of Misa, but because of the theoretical Chiv Misa. So for example, if you were working, operating within the mechanics of Kedei Rishasa, and that's all you had, then what you would say is that Beis Din can't implement two punishments. That's only going to be in what case for both sides?
Malchus and Mammon.
Wait, no. You're a step ahead of me. What I meant to say is that if we're talking about Kedei Rishaso and we're saying to Beis Din that you can't implement two punishments, then what are we talking about here? We're talking about a case where there could have been two punishments, correct? What does that mean, there could have been two punishments? Is that a shogeg or is that amazing? It's amazing. So what I'm suggesting now is that according to the paragraph that we have, Rabbi Yochanan is right and Reish Lakish is wrong. The next paragraph is going to try to present Rabbi Yochanan. I'm sorry, going to try to present Reish Lakish. But let's understand this paragraph as a clear-cut explanation as to why Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of Malchus and Mammon, could not accept shogging it. Why couldn't he accept Shogigin? Because the din of Malchus and Mammon is derived from which parasha? The parasha of Kedei Rishaso. And the parasha of Rishaso is addressing Beis Din. And it's saying that Beis Din can't implement two punishments. Well, that must be a case of Mazin. In the case of Shogig, Beis Din is not implementing two punishments. And therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, he's going to get Malchus. If there was Asra for Malchus. Or alternatively, if there was no Asra for Malchus, he's going to get Mammon. So that Shogigin will not knock off anything else, because there is nothing that knocks off. It's only a din in Beis Din. The Torah in Kedei Rishasa is addressing Beis Din and telling Beis Din, we're going to hold your arms when you want to impose a double punishment for one action. Not so in the case of Mesu Mishalim. In the case of Mesu Mishalim, we're talking about a whole different set of rules. We're not addressing ourselves to Beis Din. We're addressing ourselves to the Chiv Misa, and we're talking about the nature of the crime and its relationship to a Chiv Mammon. And what we're saying is that the nature of the crime is such that there's not going to be a Chiv Mammon here. What I mean to say is that now, in the case of Misa Poteres, Rabbi Yochanan will be free, will break the shackles, and he can extend the din of Kimlei Rabbi even to a case of Shogeg. Why? Because this principle has nothing to do with whether Beis Din is their hands are tied and they cannot implement two punishments. It's a din in Misa. Now we have to define, what does that Misa mean? Is it Misa befall because there was Asrof and Misa, or is it Misa as a description or a categorization?
Conceptually,
it's a relationship to the Aver itself. It's an Aver that has Misa to it. If it's an Aver that has two Misa, that passes you up from Mama.
So conceptually, they're two completely different categories. That's what he's saying.
That's the breakthrough here.
You can't infer anything from one to the other because they're completely different conceptual universes.
Correct. Correct. So we, you know, we've been spending a lot of time on Kimleid Rami. For the first time, we're breaking Kimleid Rami to two different concepts. One concept is a Bezdin concept, and it ties the hands of Bezdin. But again, that's only because there are two punishments. If there's only one punishment because there was no Asra, then nobody's tying the hands of Bezdin. There's no reason to pater him up for Mon if there was no Asra for Malkus. And therefore, he's going to pay Mon. And that's exactly the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Masha'en came in the case of Mesu Mashan, that's the super overarching principle of Kimleid Rami, which says that Misa pacters you up for Mon. And that's the Onesh Yonesh. Not derived from Kedei Rishos.
Sure, I can understand conceptually why the case of Misa's Pater Mammon, you know, conceptually it makes a lot of sense because it's a case of Ibud Nefesh. And Ibud Nefesh is immeasurable, so you can't put any kind of quantitative figure in the form of Mammon on an Ibud Nefesh, even a conceptual Ibud Nefesh. You can be seen that, which is not at all applicable in the case of Malkus and Mammon.
But just keep in mind that we need both a son Yeanesh plus the Makah or the Makah Behem of Chizkiah. What do I mean? In the case of Misa pattering up a Chiyuv Mammon, we could say it's because, like you say, Ibud Nefesh, we're taking his life, but that's only in the case of Mazin. We also need to add to Budi Alfusa of Tanav Chizkiah to make that extra jump and apply it even to a case of Shogeg where there is no Chiyuv Misa before. But at least what we can do, once we have the integration of both Imiyason Anoshi Anesh plus when we have those two Yalfusas together, we're saying that in an Avera, we're looking at this Avera and we're judging it. It's an Avera Sheyesh by Ibud Nefesh. It's a very severe Avera. And such an Avera is like a bonfire, and the candle doesn't even shine a candle to the bonfire. So the Chiyuv Mammon is completely like null and void. It's batel mevutel, it's swallowed in the greater nature of this Avera and its potential for a Chiyuv Misa. But this has nothing to do with Bezdin, and therefore it could apply even in the case of Shogeg. Now, where does Reish Lakish stand up to the plate and argue against Rabbi Yochanan? That's in the next paragraph of Hashta. Pluta de Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, but Chayvi Malkius Shogegim. So again, in Chayvi Malkius, all we have is Kedei Rishoso. And Rabbi Yochanan points out that Kedei Rishoso only applies in the case of Mezid, it doesn't apply in the case of Shogeg. In Bechai Gavna, Choshev Risha. This is a brilliant move here. Again, this is another major move here. How do we classify Shogeg? Yesh Lachkar. One way of saying it is that Shogeg is not Rishus. I can't use the word Rishus, evil, to describe a Shogeg. Okay, look, I admit he was negligent, he could have done a better job, but nevertheless, to call him a Rasha, that I can't do. Or no. Can we say the proof is in the pudding? Look what his negligence caused. He wasn't deliberate about it. He wasn't lahakis, but he certainly involved. He was involved in implementing a Maisa Rishus. This is going to be the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So let's just again. I'm rewriting the paragraph in terms of the sequence. If you look at the last line on this page. Reish Lakish suffered the gam shogeg choshev risha. That even a shogeg situation, insofar as he was negligent, that could be classified as rishus. What does that gain for me? Well, it gains a lot. Why? Because the Gemara tells us that we have a Gzeirah Shava called Risha Risha. Now that Gzeirah Shava equates Malkus with Misa. Reish Lakish derives from that Gzeirah Shava the principle of chayvei malkiyus shogegin p'turim min hatashlumin. Why? Because just like in the case of Misa, the Torah says chayvei Misa shogegin p'turim min hatashlumin, and now with Risha, the Torah is going to make an equation between chayvei malkiyus and chayvei Misa. Hence, even in the case of chayvei malkiyus shogegin, he'll be potter from tashlumin. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan buy into this? Because Rabbi Yochanan holds that shogegin is not called a rishus. The Torah would never have used that term risha to describe a shogeg. So therefore, we don't have this gzeirah shava that would allow us to extend the halacha of, I call it Tana Dvei Chizkiya, that Rabbi Yochanan accepted of chayvei miso shogegin to the case of chayvei malkiyus shogegin. Because the only right that you have to make that extension, since the Torah in Makkah Adam Makkah Behemoth is talking about a case of Mammon, to extend that to a case of Malkus, we're going to have to operate with what? With the Gzeirah Shava Risha Risha. Well, I'll tell you, Risha Risha makes sense in the case of a Mezid, but it doesn't make sense in the case of a Shogeg, because Shogeg is not called Risha. Is Memela, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what we're left with in the case of Malkus and Mammon is what we call Kedei Rishasa. And we said that Kedei Rishasa means that Bezin can't implement two punishments. Well, if he was a Shogeg and there was no Asra for the Malkus, then we're left with one punishment, and that's the Chiyuv Mammon. Hence, Rabbi Yochanan derives the conclusion that Malkus be Shogegin and Mammon, he pays the Mammon. Because since there's no Kedei Rishaso here. You're going to tell me, but what about Lo Yason Anoshi Anesh, which teaches me that even in the case of Shogeg, when there's Chayv Misa, we pater him up. And let's extend that halacha to include even in case of Chayv Malkus. The answer is that's based on Risha Risha. And only Risha Risha gives you license to take the halacha of Chayv Misa Shogegin and apply it to Chayvei Malkiyus Shogegin. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan. He says, I don't agree that Chayvei Malkiyus Shogegin comes on the Risha. Behindu Plutayu de Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish v'Chayvei Malkiyus Shogegin. In v'kai gav nechoshev Risha le'inyon de Sulo Matzinu le'chayvo Mama. In other words, once we have this classification of Shogeg as Rishus, now I can put it back into the parsha of Chayvei Misa Shogegin, and he's potter from Tashlum. So Chayvei Malkiyus b'Shogegin are exactly the same as Chayvei Misa b'Tashlumin, based on the Heke, the Gzeirah Shava, Risha Risha. But that's only because Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish l'shitaso holds that even in case of Shogeg is considered Risha. Rabbi Yochanan Svirle, the Be'inan Dafka Risha HaMesura LeBezdin Sheyuchlu LaNisho B'Foal B'Malkus. What kind of a Risha is being equated, and the scope of Anoshi Anesh in a case of Chayv Misa is being expanded to include even the case of Risha? That's only in the case of Risha Befal. Risha Befal meaning that basically could punish him because he's amazing. Amal Shogegin, Hove Eino Loke, is Lokarin and Boom, Mishum Risha Achasatom Chaybo, etc. Because that's a matter of tying the hands of Bezdin and implementing two punishments. Well, in the case of Shogeg, there is no two punishments, therefore he'd be Chayav Mama. And here's where he quotes he coins the phrase, which he borrows from Makis, of a Risha Mesura LeBezdin. Reish Lakish Sovet Degav Shogeg Choshev Risha. And therefore now let's apply the Gzeirah Shava Risha Risha, or Makeh Makeh. And here we turn to page Shin Tzadi Ches. V'lachem, and again this is all according to Reish Lakish, Gam Chayvei Malkiyus Shogegin E'efshal L'chayvei Mammon. Why? Because Chayvei Malkiyus Shogegin through the Gzeirah Shava Risha Risha have the same status as Chayvei Misa Shogegin. Amal Chayvei Misa Shogegin Moder Rabbi Yochanan. So despite the fact that Rabbi Yochanan in Chayvei Misa Shogegin activates the hekesh of makah adam makah behema, most yumas, because that's a case of chiyuv misa. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan is not going to apply the same yardstick to the case of Chayvei Malkios, because the Torah is not addressing Chayvei Malkios. Ah, you'll ask me, but what about Risha Risha? The answer is that we don't subsume Chayvei Malkios Shogegin under Risha. Is Moda Rabbi Yochanan Shalom on Shinlei Mamon, since he has the Hekesh of Tana de Beit Chizkiya, is therefore lo an shinalei b'mamon in the case of chayvei misa shogin, because that's the case in the pasuk of makah adam makah behema most yumos. The kan lo b'inon risha hamesur lebezdin. Oh, how is it possible in the case of chayvei misa shogin to exempt him from tashlume mamon? After all, bezdin's not going to implement the misa the punishment because he's a shogin. So Bezin should have free hands to implement the one single punishment of Mamon. The answer is no, because this is derived from a different parash, the parash of Ason Anoshi Anesh. And from that parash we derive a different halacha, the Etzem HaMisa Poter. Now I would ask you to underline these words, Etzem HaMisa Poter. So what he means by Etzem HaMisa Poter, so he didn't use that phrase earlier. He means that there's something in the relationship between Misa and Mamon as an entity of punishment, where Misa patters him up from a chi of Mamon. And that applies even in the case of Shogeg by virtue of the Hekesh of Tanav Mechizkiya. So when you use the term Etzem Misa, you're talking about a very conceptual, possibly even theoretical term. It means that the Avera per se is such that it lends itself to Misa if he would have gotten Asra. And that Misa has a power to it. It's an inherent power to knock off a Chiyuv Mamon.
That's what I was trying to say before, that the level of criminality in Misa is immeasurable. That's why you can't apply Mamon to it at all, in any sense.
Yeah, I wanted to say that maybe Mamon is like Batel to the Chiv Misa. But again, keep in mind that when we get to Malkus, we're going to make a distinction. That's the next paragraph. We're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of Misa and Malkus, is not going to apply the principle of Etzem HaMisa Poteres, but rather he's going to say that if he was a Shogig as far as the Chiv Misa is concerned, he was amazed with Asra as far as Malkus, we're going to meet out the Malkus. And why is that? So he says here in the next paragraph, Amal B'Misa U'Malkus Nafka Mikra D'Kdei Rishasam. Correct, because the Pasuk of Ason Yieh is limited to the case of Misa and Mamon, because it's the discussion, the subject of that Pasuk is the Dmei V'Lados. Is therefore, once we hop into the categorization of Kedei Rishoso, Ein Etzem HaMisa Poteres HaMalkus, but rather it's a din that Beis Din's hands are tied and they cannot implement two different punishments. It's not Misura LeBeis Din to implement two punishments for the same crime. Therefore, in the case of Misa B'Shogeg, where Beis Din is not going to implement the Chiv Misa, so you're only in the level of Kedei Rishasa, because again, the parasha of Misa Poteres is only as far as Mamon is concerned, because it's the parasha of Tmei Volados. But in the case of Misa and Malkus, we can only extrapolate the halacha from the parasha of Kedei Rishasa. So therefore, in the case of Shogeg, we don't have any limitation, any inhibition as far as the Chiv Malkus is concerned. If there was Asra for Malkus, then he's going to get Asra for Malkus. Oh, Lachain, this is a punchline. Lachain pligi Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish b'chayvei misa shogigin u'malkus ki hechi de pligi b'chayvei malkios shogigin u'mamon. Right? What was his kasha? We seem to be combining apples and oranges here, right? There was a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish b'chayvei malkios shogigin. Now, the Rashba and the Rambam are creating another machlokas as far as Chayvei Misa and Malkus is concerned. The answer is, it's all the same machlokas. The Reish Lakish The Reish Lakish, the Shogeg Nechav Risha. Once Shogeg is defined as Risha, then we go back to the Parsha of Ason Yiyeh. Im Ason Yiyeh. Why? Because we have the mechanics of Risha Risha, the Gzeirah Shava. And therefore, once we go back to the Parsha of Lo Yiyeh, then we have Halacha of a Misa HaPoteres. And if there's Halacha of Misa HaPoteres, we can extend that Halacha of Misa HaPoteres to Malchus as well, via or by virtue of the Gzeirah Shava Risha Risha. That's because Reish Lakish categorizes a Chiyuv Shogeg, a Shogeg situation as Risha. So now Shogeg is included. I'm sorry, Malchus now b'Shogeg is included in Risha. So if he violates a law b'Shogeg, he's a Rasha. Why? By virtue of the fact that he was negligent. Okay, now we're going to take it and put it back into the parsha of Im Lo Yason Anoshi Anesh. And therefore we're going to have a Halach of Misa Poteres, but it's going to be a Misa Poteres, not just Mammon, but in this case, Misa Poteres Malchus. And that's by virtue of the Gzeirah Shava Risha Risha. But Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have the Gzeirah Shava Risha Risha in the case of Shogeg, because he holds this case of Shogeg is not classified as Risha. Is Memela, all he can have in the case of Malchus is Kedei Rishasa. He doesn't have the luxury of applying the principle of Im Lo Yason Yanoshi Anesh. Is Memela, if he's applying only the arts of Kedei Risha, then there's a difference she makes it in Shogeg. That Dafka, in a case where Bezdin is meeting out two punishments, then we can apply the principle of Kedei Rishaso, and they can give one punishment, but they can't give two punishments. But if we don't have two punishments because he's a Shogeg, then the other punishment will come to the fore. So it's all the same. It's one and the same Machlokas. In Chayvei Malchus Shogegin, according to, let's go according to Rabbi Yochanan, Chayvei Malchus Shogegin are going to be Chayav Mammon. Why are they Chayav Mammon? Because they're not included in Risha, and we can't extend the principle of Anoshi Yonesh. Therefore, in the case of Chayvei Misa of Shogin and Chayvei and Malchus, we're going to say the same thing, that the case of Malchus, B'Shogeg, is not included in this parish of Ason Yosan, and the only parish, therefore, that we're allowed to apply is Kedei Rishaso, but Kedei Rishaso doesn't apply in the case of a Shogeg. So it's all one and the same. Now, in the next paragraph, which we don't have time for today, I just want to say by introduction, we're going to introduce a new concept here, and he attributes this to Rav Shmuel, who was the Rashiv in Panovich, that's going to shed a light on our entire discussion. So what I'm saying to you is that we'll have to wait until we see this paragraph, because again, as I told you at the outset, our goal is to answer up Tosis' Kasha on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph Dibur Maskil Rava Omar. So just to reiterate the Kasha, if we have the Gzeira Shova that equates Malchus and Misa, so then why does the Gemara need all these Tzrichasas that justify both Im Ason Yiyeh Anoshi Anesh and Kedei Rishasa? Once we have the Gzeirah Shava, then we're really stuck over here, because we don't need two parshios. Choose your parsha, either Kedei Rishasa or Lo Yason, whichever one you want. But whatever it is, we're going to, by virtue of the Gzeirah Shava, we're going to equate Misa and Malchus, so that the Torah says you don't pay Mammon in the case of Misa, you don't pay Mammon in the case of Malchus. You'll tell me here it's more severe, here there's even the Shava, blah, blah, blah. All that goes down to twos because of the Gzeirah Shava. So that's what we're going to answer.
But the assumption, that you're making the assumption that the Gzeirah Shava applies equally to the case of Malchus and Misa.
Well, that's right. That's what the Gemara says. I mean, the Gemara says that...
But Rabbi Yochanan's assumption is not, right?
Right.
Yochanan's... So there's a circular reasoning going on. I think what's happening is, why do you need the...
You want to put up the door just so we don't miss
Mishnah? Because that's a unique portion, because it deals with the issue of Misa. Not only is it not Misa, it's Ritzicha.
Right.
It's Ritzicha, right? So that's a kind of unique category in the Torah. It's not such a heinous crime.
Right.
And therefore you wouldn't be able to derive that from Gezeirah Shel.
Yeah. Okay, my head is already on Mincha, but we'll believe that. You know, we'll try to. I don't know when you're available, but we'll try to get to that.